Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Fall of Heaven by Andrew Scott Cooper is a narrative history of Iran under the Pahlavi dynasty and the dramatic unraveling of imperial rule in the 1970s. Centering on Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi, the book traces how a modernizing monarchy, allied closely with the West and enriched by oil revenue, became increasingly brittle as political repression, social strain, and ideological opposition intensified. Cooper examines court politics, state institutions, and the personalities surrounding the Shah, including influential advisors and family figures, to show how decisions made at the top interacted with pressures from the streets. The story culminates in the Iranian Revolution, when a seemingly powerful state lost legitimacy and momentum with astonishing speed. Written for readers who want both geopolitical context and human drama, the book connects Iran's internal struggles to Cold War calculations, regional rivalries, and the dilemmas facing Washington and other capitals as the crisis deepened. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Shah project of modernization and its hidden costs. A central theme is the Shah ambition to transform Iran into a modern, economically powerful state. The book frames this effort through rapid development driven by oil income, state-led planning, and ambitious social reforms that aimed to reshape education, infrastructure, and the public role of the monarchy. Cooper presents modernization as more than a list of policies. It is a governing style that prioritized speed, scale, and centralized control. That approach produced visible gains but also amplified inequality, disrupted traditional networks, and raised expectations faster than institutions could adapt. The state promise of prosperity created new urban constituencies and new grievances, especially when growth became uneven and corruption appeared entrenched. Modernization also carried cultural and political implications. As the monarchy embraced a strongly nationalistic vision and projected confidence at home and abroad, it alienated groups who saw the program as imposed from above or insufficiently rooted in Iranian religious and social norms. The book highlights how the modernizing drive, when paired with limited political participation, generated a sense that change was happening to society rather than with it, setting the stage for broader backlash. Secondly, power at the palace court politics, personalities, and decision-making. Cooper emphasizes that the imperial state was not a machine, but a collection of relationships, rivalries, and personal loyalties. The Shah sits at the center, and the book explores how his temperament, health concerns, and evolving sense of destiny shaped governance. Surrounding him are court insiders, political operators, technocrats, and family figures whose access to the monarch could determine policy direction and the fortunes of entire institutions. This focus helps explain why some reforms advanced quickly, while other problems were minimized or misread. The palace environment could encourage optimism, discourage bad news, and reward those who reinforce the image of stability. At the same time, competing factions sought influence, sometimes pushing contradictory strategies on security, economic management, and public messaging. The book also shows how the monarchy performance of grandeur could become a vulnerability, feeding public resentment and creating symbolic targets for opponents. By examining decision-making as a human process rather than a purely strategic one, Cooper clarifies how the regime could appear strong externally while becoming internally indecisive, especially during moments when timely compromise and credible communication were essential. Thirdly, security, surveillance, and the legitimacy trap. Another major topic is how the regime reliance on coercion interacted with its search for legitimacy. The book describes an imperial system that invested heavily in internal security and political control to contain dissent. This security-first posture could suppress opposition temporarily, but it also narrowed the space for lawful political activity, leaving critics with fewer avenues other than radicalization, underground organization, or moral protest. Cooper portrays a feedback loop repression heightened fear and anger, which encouraged tougher measures, which then further eroded trust. Over time, the state risked becoming efficient at monitoring symptoms while losing the ability to diagnose causes. The legitimacy trap becomes clearer as unrest grows. If the monarchy relaxes control, it appears weak. If it tightens control, it fuels outrage and international criticism. The book places this dilemma within Iran, changing social fabric, where expanding universities, urbanization, and a more connected public created faster-moving political currents. Security institutions could not substitute for consent, and once large segments of society no longer believed the system could reform itself, even significant administrative capacity was not enough to stabilize the country. Fourthly, the opposition coalition, and the role of ideology and religion, Cooper examines how diverse strands of opposition converged into a movement capable of toppling the monarchy. Rather than treating the revolution as inevitable, the narrative emphasizes how networks formed, messages spread, and symbols mobilized. the book considers the power of religious leadership and institutions as organizing frameworks that could reach across class lines, offering moral authority and a language of justice that resonated widely. At the same time, opposition energy also drew from intellectual circles, students, bizarre networks, and political groups with differing visions for Iran's future. What unified them was a shared rejection of autocracy and a perception that the Shah regime had become disconnected from everyday concerns and national authenticity. Kuiper highlights how ideology can become practical religious rituals, commemorations, and public gatherings create repeatable mechanisms for coordination and protest. As the crisis escalated, the opposition's ability to frame events, define martyrs, and depict the monarchy as illegitimate proved decisive. The book shows that revolutions succeed not only through anger but through organization, narrative coherence, and the capacity to recruit neutral observers into active participants. Lastly, international pressures oil, the Cold War, and shifting Western calculations, the final days of Imperial Iran unfolded within a dense web of foreign relationships. And Kuiper situates the domestic crisis inside global politics. Iran's strategic position, military buildup, and oil wealth made it a major player and a key partner for Western governments during the Cold War. The book explores how external support could strengthen the Shah confidence while also binding the regime to expectations about stability, regional security, and energy markets. As protests grew, foreign governments faced competing priorities: preserving an ally, encouraging reforms, avoiding violence, and protecting long-term interests in a changing Middle East. Kuiper depicts how uncertainty, mixed signals, and bureaucratic disagreements abroad intersected with confusion in Tehran. International media attention and human rights concerns also influenced how the crisis was perceived and managed. The book underscores that foreign actors could not control events, but their assumptions mattered. If outside policymakers misread the depth of opposition or overestimated the regime's resilience, they might encourage strategies that arrived too late. The result is a portrait of a pivotal geopolitical rupture where internal legitimacy collapsed while international partners struggled to recalibrate in real time. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand why the Pahlavi monarchy fell and why the Iranian Revolution reshaped the Middle East so profoundly. It is especially useful for those interested in modern Iranian history, the politics of authoritarian modernization, and the real-world limits of security states when legitimacy breaks down. Readers can benefit by seeing how large systems fail through a combination of policy choices, institutional incentives, and human misjudgment, lessons that apply far beyond Iran. The narrative also clarifies how ideology and organization can turn widespread frustration into a decisive movement, and how international alliances can become liabilities when domestic politics change faster than foreign partners can respond. Compared with many books that focus mainly on either high diplomacy or revolutionary ideology, Kuiper's approach emphasizes the intersection of court politics, social change, and geopolitical context, giving a more rounded account of causation and timing. It is worth buying for its accessible storytelling combined with serious historical scope, making it a strong bridge between academic themes and a readable account of one of the 20th century defining turning points. If you would like to support Andrew Scott Kuiper, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.